Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Gosh, I think we're all a little speechless having listened to Micheline Walsh and to David Farrell about what's facing her at the end of this month. And I have Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Michelle, good morning to you. I know you were listening to all of that, but you're telling us today about this information that you have for us about 670,000 people in Ireland who are living below the poverty line. This was as of last year, including an increase in the number of older people and a stagnating number of children. Renters as well, according to your information this morning, at increased risk of poverty. But you heard Micheline speaking there. Mm-hmm. You probably won't be surprised to hear that story, because as we were saying, so many people in this country are facing a similar reality.
Exactly, Karen. Good morning. Yes, so we launched Social Justice Matters 23 this morning. So this is our new data and figures, and we're looking at income distribution here this morning. And I was really struck, actually, Claire, by Micheline and David and their comments about, you know, they use the term shame, fear and feeling invisible. And you have 668,000 people out there today who are living below the poverty line, and they feel invisible every day of the week. And the struggle that they have just to survive on the daily basis, and the things that Micheline was talking about in terms of your options are so limited all of a sudden, the trade-offs you have to make, the fact that you can't even imagine a secure future for yourself. And then when you look at people who are renting then, people who, like Micheline, who are either entitled to HAP or the rent supplement, the poverty rate for those people after their housing costs rises to 67%. I mean, that's an astonishing statistic. And we're saying to government today, these statistics should really, really worry you. Mm-hmm. Because we have a housing and a homelessness crisis. And we also have a poverty crisis. You've had a 63% increase in the number of older people living in poverty in the space of 1 year, which shows you the impact of increased costs to people fixed incomes. Because I suppose one of the greatest successes we have had over about three decades is reducing the number of older people in poverty. That has been a success story for this country. But what you have now is a significant jump in the space of 1 year. And we know that, you know, the cost of the basics, I'm talking food, energy and accommodation here, they're not falling in the way you might like to see them fall. And, you know, they're not going to fall considerably mm-hmm. for another 2 or 3 years. So you have those people who are really okay. struggling, who feel invisible and helpless.
Because you're focusing on the last year, I know government would say yeah. we took a number of one-off measures to help mm-hmm. with the cost of living crisis. Mm-hmm. Are those one-off measures affecting poverty rates?
No, because the reality is, Claire, once a one-off measure has been used, and, you know, we're talking here about either the one-off lump sum payments or energy credits, then they're gone. They're spent. You don't get that money again. So they won't. If you really want to have an impact, and we have had an impact on poverty over the years when we've looked at core rates, when you increase core welfare rates, you see an impact in a reduction in poverty. The same thing if you're looking at households with jobs, for example. If you look at the impact of, and we have done modelling on the impact of, I suppose, budgets in the last 3 years, or there have been changes to the tax bands and changes to social welfare rates. And what you see is, in terms of households with jobs, you have people at about 60,000, a couple with two earners, two children, they got an extra €22.50 a week. That's cumulatively over 3 years. Two earners on 100,000 get an extra €55.60 a week. If you're looking, a couple with two children, depends on social welfare, they're getting an extra 64 a week, but that's really taking into account the one-off lump sum child benefit payments, which won't be repeated. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see real support for people, so drops in poverty, drops in the number of people who are working but, you know, living below the poverty line, you're looking at the core income. So that's either wage rates, so the minimum wage, or you're looking at increasing core social welfare rates, and we haven't seen the focus on that.
Let's talk a little bit about renters. I know you looked at renters in yeah. particular. How stark is the poverty risk for people who are renting a home?
For people who are renting a home, so people who are renting a home in the private market have a poverty risk of 41% once they've paid their rent. That's astonishing, but it shouldn't be surprising. given the increases in the cost of living, given the rate of rents that you have, not just in Dublin, but across the country now. So, for example, if you're a single adult in the private rented sector, once you have paid your rent, then you still have to cover all your other costs. So your bills, your electricity bills, your gas bills, you have to cover your food costs, any transport costs, your health insurance, if you're lucky enough to have it, your television license, all of those things. So after they pay their rent, their poverty rate shoots up. And the problem is, it's very hard if government, a lot of the, I suppose, the initiatives they've taken to date, they haven't been able to reach renters. If you're going to reach that cohort, particularly those who are working, you need to look at the credit system, for example, and increase that so that the support goes to people who are in that rented accommodation. And obviously, overall, we need to increase the supply to bring down the cost of rent, because the reality is housing is out of reach of a huge proportion of people at the moment in our population.
So if this is addressed, and if what you're calling for is addressed, and there's an increase in social welfare rates, we'll hear about that at budget time. Now, we heard Bernard Gloucester, who's the HSE CEO, he was talking to Brian Dobson, and he said the days of the winter plan from a health perspective are over. He says we need a year-round plan now, an ongoing plan. Do you think there's a similar argument, Michelle, for the cost of living crisis and for social welfare rates to move away from that once-off big announcement?
Oh, absolutely, Tara. And I would argue that there's, you know, to deal with housing as well and also climate, because we have, we need an ongoing plan to get away from this crisis management. We have a national economic dialogue every year. It's a one-off, it's a set piece, and it's kind of the beginning of the budgetary process. We should have a national economic, social and environmental dialogue, at least on a quarterly basis, to look at the big ticket items, the big problems that we have in this country. Because as David pointed out earlier, when the pandemic started, we were able to harness all of our resources to get to grips with this huge crisis. And yes, mistakes were made, but at least resources and people and the structure of the civil service was focused on addressing this issue. You can argue that, you know, poverty rates of people in employment, housing, environment, they all deserve the same attention. And it can be done, because the reality is all of us who are going to be at the National Economic Dialogue, in general terms, we're not too far away from each other, because we know what the problems are. We may have different proposals about how to address those problems, but at least we can identify and agree on what they are. And so I really think if they, you know, there's been a discussion, and you had it on your show, Claire, in the past number of weeks, the disconnect between, I suppose, economic headlines, GDP figures, full employment versus the lived reality of people. And I think Michelin's story just crystallises that. And if government are to get to grips with that and address the growing gap between the lived reality of people and our, you know, our record levels of GDP growth and problems in filling jobs, they need to have some sort of social dialogue on at least a quarterly basis to look at how everyone can play their part in coming to grips with these issues.
Michelle, thank you very much for joining us. Michelle Murphy there from Social Justice Ireland as they launch Social Justice Matters 2023. Now, coming up next, we'll hear from the young healthy man who was offered ab sculpting, facial filler, dental crowns and a hair transplant in a Turkish clinic via text message. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.